So let's go to our book of James here this morning for our scripture reading and get into our scripture lesson. The book of James, and let's go back to chapter 5 here this morning. James chapter 5, and today we're going to read 6 verses. I'm going to read verses 13 through 18 of James chapter 5. We're getting to the end of this book, and we'll be finishing it up here shortly. I will have those words up here on the screen. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow along with me, that's fine. I read out of my New American Standard Bible translation. James chapter 5, starting in verse number 13. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. These are the words of James, who is the half-brother of Jesus, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. We'll stop there. Let's go to God in a time of prayer. Father, we want to learn more about what these scripture verses are teaching us. So, Father, have your Holy Spirit enlighten us to exactly what that is. What are we to learn here today? We trust you that we will all walk away from here today knowing more about your scriptures than what we did when we walked in. We thank you for this. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, today we continue, and we're kind of coming closer to the finish line here in this expository study of the book of James, and this is week number 28. And I have titled today's message, one word, pray. It's a word that James uses 3 times. One time in verse 13, again in verse 14, and then in verse 16. If you read these 6 verses at face value, and you have questions about the content of these 6 verses, you're in good company. So did I. So do I, and so did I. Until I did some research and really figured those out. Perhaps you might have some questions, and the questions would be something like this. Mike, what kind of suffering is he talking about in verse number 13? What kind of sickness is he talking about in verse number 14? Do church elders have some kind of special prayer power? Why anoint and use oil? Is healing always 100% guaranteed? And when the sick person gets well, are their sins automatically forgiven? Those might be some of the questions that you have come up with. They were some of the questions that I had when preparing for this message for this Sunday. Pentecostals and charismatics, those people who of the Christian faith that we would call continuationist. And I'll stop right here. What is a continuationist? If we looked at the spiritual gifts, there are 3 spiritual gifts in particular that some people believe they have ceased. They are miraculous gifts, the gifts of healing, the gifts of speaking in tongues, and the gifts of prophecy. But there are some people, like the Pentecostals and Charismatics, who believe that those miraculous gifts are still continuing today. Well, the Pentecostals and Charismatics, they love these verses here because it is their proof text that equates faith with physical healing. After all, James 5:14 and 15a does say, "And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick." That's what it says, doesn't it? So the Charismatics and these continuationists would say this: if you have faith, you get physically healed. And if you don't have faith, you don't get healed. After all, that's what it says. But let's get practical here this morning. Not all people get healed, do they? No. Does that mean the sick person lacked faith? Does that mean that the person that was praying for that sick person lacked faith? Common sense and experience tells us that not all sick people get well when they are praying for themselves and when other people are praying for them. If they did, there would be many more people alive today. Amen? There would. And if they did get well, these so-called faith healers like Benny Hinn and others like him, they would be going through hospitals wiping out sickness and disease. But they're not. Because we know it doesn't always work. Even the Apostle Paul, who healed many people and brought one man, Eutychus, remember him? He fell out the third story window, falling asleep, listening to the preacher. Just thought I'd rub that in a little bit here this morning. He brought him back to life. Eutychus fell three stories, fell dead on the ground. Paul went and healed him. Paul suggests to Timothy to drink a little wine for your ailing stomach. He tells Timothy this in 1 Timothy 5:23. "No longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailment." If Paul could heal people, why didn't Paul first tell him to pray, "Timothy, pray for yourself"? Or better yet, why didn't Paul just go and heal him? Time out, Mike. Time out. Mike, are you saying that the scriptures cannot be trusted? Time out, Mike. Are you saying that the scriptures are wrong? No, not at all. To understand the six verses that we just covered, and to understand them properly, let's apply the first three rules of proper Bible interpretation. And they are context, context, and context. Very good. Then let's look at one little Greek word that's used in this text that could be very misleading to all of us. Let's start with the context. James chapter 5, verse 4. What is the situation that is going on? Let's look at the context of the passage. "The pay of the laborers who mowed your fields, which has been withheld by you." Who is you? It's the rich people that that James is addressing here. If we look at the context of verses 1 through 11, and this is part of it, we know that the pay that was due these brethren that James is referring to, who were laborers, their pay was being withheld. And I'm convinced the reason their pay was being withheld was a form of persecution, because these people, these brethren, were following this man Jesus. They were following the way. And some people don't like that. And some people don't like me, and some people don't like you, because we are Christians. James 5, 8a, 10, and 11a. I kind of put them all together. James tells the people this, the brethren. You too be patient. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. James is encouraging these brethren to have patience through their suffering. And suffering, as we all know, comes in many different forms and many different flavors. And suffering can bring us to the point of weakness. So let's just get practical here this morning, Beech Grove. We all have daily struggles. And our daily struggles can certainly make us weak physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. I've been through it, and probably all of you have been through it at some point in time in your life, or maybe you're going through something right now. They are not good times, are they? Story time with Pastor Mike. It was March of 1999. I'm at work and I get a phone call from Gail. She's in the emergency room over at AMC Hospital. Mike, they are about to admit me into the hospital. I'm having heart issues. That was Monday. They did a heart cath on her and determined she had two blockages. Gail would need open heart surgery. Thursday night, they rushed her over to the hospital. Friday morning, the doctors at UVA Hospital performed successful open heart surgery on my wife. And praise the Lord, she's still with me today and with us. That was not a good week for me. Both of my children were still living at home. I still had to work. I had to worry about her. I had to take care of the kids. All of a sudden, you are thrust into a situation that you're not familiar with. And when you're thrust into situations like that, sometimes you can come to the end of your rope. And it was that Friday night. She had the surgery. It was successful. The last thing I remember was her just laying there in the bed with all these tubes and everything just attached to her. And I came home that night, and I walked into my bedroom, and I was ready to go to bed. And I just fell to my knees. And I just said, Lord, I can't do this. I thought I could do this, Lord, but I can't. I need your help. Would you please help me? Have you ever been there? Weakness. When mental or emotional or spiritual weakness brings us to the point of sickness, that can certainly happen. And it can happen easily when we come to the end of our rope. And that, my friends, is the context of this passage. James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Suffering from what? Suffering, these brethren were suffering from the pressures of the world. They were suffering from the pressures of persecution. They were suffering because they had bosses who were withholding their pay because they were Christians. They were suffering from the pressures of a heart and a mind that was extremely heavy. And what is James's first solution to these people who are going through this? He says this in verse number 14. Excuse me. He says, then he must pray. That person should pray. So our fill in the blank would be this. When we are weak and suffering in any way, we should pray for ourselves. We should pray for ourselves. Some people at some times do have the strength to pray for themselves when they are going through extremely difficult situations. And folks, it is never wrong to pray for ourselves. James tells us to do this, to pray for ourselves. But what if the situation escalates? What if we have reached the end of our ropes? What if our weaknesses have peaked? This is where we need to redefine one word that James uses here so it can better fit the context of the passage. James says this in James 5:14. Is anyone among you sick? Today we would classify sick as someone who may have cancer or may have COVID or a broken arm, a broken leg, or they have to go through some kind of necessary surgical procedure, or maybe they've been in an accident and they're in the hospital, they are sick, or maybe they just have a bad case of the flu. And that's usually what comes to mind when we think of the word sick. Now, here's a confession for you. I am not a Greek scholar, but I do know how to look stuff up. The word sick is the Greek word asthenēo, which can mean sick, but it can also mean weak. And it can also mean powerless. And I believe this is the context of this passage. So let's use the word weak instead of the word sick and see how it helps make this passage really make a lot more sense, considering the context of this passage is all about the brethren who are suffering mentally and emotionally and spiritually from their persecution. Is anyone among you weak? Is anyone among you weak? So now we have a situation where a brother or sister in Christ is so weak that they are unable to pray for themselves. We've been there, haven't we? Sometimes we can be so weak that we don't even know how to pray for ourselves because the situation just seems to be so far out of our control. So what solution does James give us in this situation? James 5:14, same verse. To call on the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, over that person. The elders, or anybody in the church who is spiritually strong in the church, those people need to pray for these weak brothers and sisters in Christ. Which leads us to our second fill in the blank. When others are weak and suffering, we who are strong must pray for that person. This is what we call intercessory prayer. Those who are strong are interceding for that weak brother or sister in Christ. We are praying in their behalf. And James 5:15 tells us that the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who has been sick. Restore. Well, restored back to what? Back to where that person is no longer weak from the burden of their suffering and from the burden of their persecution that he or she may have been facing. Going through mental and emotional weaknesses and suffering can cause all of us, any of us, to lose our spiritual focus. I have been there, and there's a good chance that you have been there too. I know that there have been many people who have prayed for me over the 15 years that I've been here. And as a congregation, we have prayed for each other over the years. And this intercessory prayer has brought us to the point where we can regain our spiritual focus. And just recently, we have certainly lost a very strong prayer warrior in this church, in Shirley Fisher. She was praying for all of us. She was that elder who was praying for us all the time. James 5:16. The verse starts off with therefore, and I'm going to stop right there. Therefore. Remember, anytime we see the word therefore in a verse, we need to look at the verses before that to see what the word therefore is. Therefore. So let's add verse 15 to verse 16, and let's see what James is writing. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The Catholic religion has a sacrament that they call penance. And it's penance is when a person goes into one of these confessional booths and they privately confess his or her sins to the priest. And according to Catholic doctrine, the priest is the intercessor between that person who's confessing his or her sins and the Lord. And that priest will grant forgiveness to that person because the Lord has granted it back through the priest. Well, as Protestants, we know that only God can forgive sins, and Jesus Christ is our intercessor. That's what we believe in. That's what the Bible teaches. But there is something pretty healing about confessing sins to one another. That sin that we may have has built up inside us, and it's like a toxin that begins to gnaw away at our spirit. And when it does, when it gets to that point, when the sin becomes that apparent, we can become very weak mentally and weak emotionally and weak physically. Not only can our sufferings and persecutions make us weak, our unconfessed sins can make us weak also. So our third fill in the blank would say this: confessing our sins to others and to God will help renew our strength. When we arrive at the point when we realize that our shortcomings and our failures, better known as our sins, are making us weak physically, we need to take that next step to confess our sins to one another, and certainly to God Himself. That is when the healing begins. That is when we can begin to regain our spiritual focus. And if we are strong enough to confess our sins to one another, we will be strong enough to confess our sins to the Lord. And James says this: when we confess our sins to the Lord, He will be faithful to forgive us of our sins. The scriptures give us that promise. And he says this in James 5:16. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So I ask three questions here this morning. Do any of us have any mental or emotional stress that is bringing us to the point of weakness and sickness? Question number two. Do we have weakness, physical weakness and sickness due to unconfessed sin? And then the third question. I'll ask the same question to the congregation here that Jesus asked to the man at the pool in John chapter 5. Do we want to get well? Do we want to get well? I believe we do. The scriptures tell us to pray. And if we have a brother or sister in Christ who cannot pray for themselves, we who are strong are to pray for that person. I don't think any of us in here want to see ourselves or see anybody else in here, others, burdened in any form of unnecessary weaknesses. And James leaves us with an example of how prayer can change a situation. He uses Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. I know we're not praying for the weather to change, but we are praying to help a hurting brother or sister in Christ, to get them and help them get through their difficult situation. We want to lift that person up above and beyond their burdens, above and beyond their weaknesses, above and beyond any sickness that they may have. And there's a very simple solution. We pray. One last point before we close. James 5:14 says this, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Why anoint with oil? Because oil soothes. It's comforting. And isn't that what we need? Don't we need comforting sometimes? This body and this mind and this spirit sometimes just needs to rest and get well. And to me, anointing with oil is a confirmation that we are sincere about our prayers of healing and the burdens for that other individual that we care so much about. We pray for others so that they will no longer be weak. We pray for ourselves so that we will no longer be weak. The answer is, we pray. Let's go to God in a time of prayer.